Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Tough to ask a kid to grind like that for 12 months straight, you know. So we try to make sure that heading into the season and early on, we're in a good spot. We've done what we needed to do. We've been efficient with our work, but the energy's still good. The kids still want to be here. They're not tired. They're not fatigued. And so, you know, it's a tricky balance.
This week's installment of the Champions Series, presented by Signature Championship Rings, is with Ben Reeves, head coach of state champions at Milton High School in Georgia. Coach Reeves discusses the importance of celebrating the team's success, emphasizing the fleeting nature of championships and the need to savor each moment. He also explains the two-position philosophy employed in the program, where players are trained in two positions to maximize their impact on the field and increase competition within the team. Coach Reeves highlights the benefits of this approach, and such as enhancing depth, promoting camaraderie, and ensuring the best players are on the field during crucial moments. Furthermore, Coach Reeves delves into the program's focus on achieving balance throughout the season, aiming to peak in December. He stresses the significance of managing player workloads to maintain physical, mental, and emotional freshness as the season progresses. Stay tuned for our Winning Edge takeaways following the episode. What you see on tape is a direct reflection of what you teach and how you teach. Video is important, but if you don't teach well, you're not going to like what you see on your video. First Down Playbook has been helping coaches teach better for 13 years. It allows you to present installs, playbooks, and practice cards in half the time with NFL quality. Coaching tools like video pairing, a player app, practice schedules, and wristband sheets have made First Down Playbook a program management system with everything in one place. If you're in a position of leadership with your football program, receive a free one-week look at First Down Playbook. Call them at 512-814-6158 or visit them on their website or social media. Mention Coach and Coordinator Podcast or use the coupon code COACH24 to receive a $100 discount off the normal $700 First Down Playbook team membership price. Links and the phone number are in the show notes. We're back for another episode in our Champions Series, and joining me is the head coach of the state champions in Georgia, Milton High School, Ben Reeves. Ben was part of a state championship as the offensive coordinator in 2018. He took over the program in 2022, and they've won their second state championship in school history. So, Coach, I'm excited to talk about what you're doing in your program and how you guys were able to get to the top.
Yeah, no, I am as well, and I appreciate you having me on.
So, Coach, before we get into some of the details of what you do in your program, and I know we're going to talk specifically about balance, but a state championship, really any championship, or even if you don't win a championship and maybe you exceed expectations, I mean, that's an opportunity to step back and with those people who went through that with you, your staff, your coaches, the people who are your other stakeholders and support you, you know, it's great to take that opportunity to celebrate it before you flip the page. How did you guys do that after winning the second one in school history?
Yeah, I mean, you got to just, you know, being the son of a former head coach, and a lot of our guys have been in the industry for a long time. You understand that a state championship is rare. It's hard to come by. It's never guaranteed to happen again. And so you better enjoy every single second of the ride, and you better not waste a second. If you got a team, if you got a shot to win one, you better go get it, because they're hard to come by and you're never guaranteed to have one of those again. But once you do win it, everybody from the members of the team, the community, our families who we're away from on a nightly basis to coach, deserve to enjoy the moment and celebrate it. And that's exactly what we tried to do, was just enjoy the moment, right? Not necessarily the results. It's, you don't want to get caught up in results based of it's all on wins and losses. We're in this coaching profession to make memories, have an impact, mold young men. And so that's why you got to prioritize whatever memories you do make, whether it's a region championship, you had, you know, a winning season for the first time in school history, or won a state championship. Make sure to enjoy and celebrate those moments, not only for yourself, because you have grinded for them, but for the members of that team that's given you their full effort, the school their full effort, the community their full effort. Because the truth is when the year's over, that team is done. And it doesn't matter how many guys you're returning, that team is unique and will never be the same again. And it's your last chance to, you know, truly enjoy each other, reflect back on the memories, the accomplishments. So, you know, we try to always do that, you know, to an extent. At some point, you got to turn the page and move on. But, you know, we made sure that we celebrated it well into the month of January, and, you know, still have a couple ceremonies, a ring ceremony coming up. And, you know, like I told the kids, when you become champions, nobody can take that away from you. So there'll be some more celebrations as we hit some milestones, you know, down the years in their lives as well.
I know in looking at how you build your program, depth is important to you. Competition is important to you. Camaraderie between the different units, offense, defense, those things are very important in building in this culture. And one of the ways that you guys do that is you have a two-position philosophy. Tell our listeners exactly what that is and why you guys use a two-position philosophy.
Yeah, so that's something that, you know, I learned from our previous head coach, Coach Adam Clack. He brought that to Milton. And there's so many different facets of the philosophy, but essentially it's making sure that your best 11 guys are on the field in the right moments. You know, we don't have guys that can play 130 plays per game like Travis Hunter can, and that's fine. But we want to make sure that in those key moments, those fourth downs, the red zone plays, the end of the game plays, that our best 11 guys are on the field, coached up, ready to go. So we invest a lot of time early on, especially in the spring and in the summer, of assigning each kid two positions. And it doesn't necessarily mean an offensive and a defensive position. You know, you could have a corner that's cross-trained at safety, and those are his two positions. But we invest a lot of time and almost do a 50-50 practice split, so that they're able to get coached up at both of those spots for 3 months and head into the year knowing two spots. And just on the flip side, like you already mentioned, it increases our depth. It enhances what we can do, especially unit-wise. You know, if someone was to go down, I don't necessarily have to plug in the young kid's name that happens to be on the depth chart behind him that's written on the whiteboard, right? There may be another starter that I can move over, and maybe his backup is a little bit better or more suited for varsity football. And so it's just a shuffle game that can occur, and it provides us a way to really increase competition whenever you can flip guys on both sides of the ball or move them around, or, you know, create two teams in a sense, like we try to do in spring practice. And kind of a underlying benefit to it is just the camaraderie and the positivity that I hope it keeps on the team, right? So we shouldn't see a lot of unit versus unit negative talk. We shouldn't hear the offense say, defense, you know, why can't you slow them down? Why can't you stop them? Because the truth is, there's a lot of those offensive guys who have been coached up on defensive positions. So if they can do better, if they can do a better job, then they need to get in there and do that, not sit on the sidelines and complain about what's going on the field. So just so many facets to that two position philosophy. It is something that, you know, we're a program, we have close to 120 kids in, so we don't necessarily have to do it, but it's just something that I learned from Coach Clack, my predecessor, and something I believe in and I'll always do and always make sure that if it ever comes down to one play to win the game, the 11 guys on the field are going to be the best ones we have.
Well, it's something I know, at least I have in the past, have because of necessity ended up doing anyway, where you do whatever it might be, you have an injury, you lose a guy, and then maybe a guy who has not been playing that position all of a sudden shows up there and now is, you know, playing two positions, maybe crossing over. That probably happens more that way, crossing over the side of the ball. But it's almost unfair for that kid who, you know, all year long, that's what he did. He was the next in line, and then somebody comes and jumps him. I mean, you kind of negate anything right there that can demotivate a kid, too. They just know, like, okay, you know, I'm here on the depth chart, but I know this guy on the other side of the ball also plays that position, so I'm a JV player maybe, and he's going to get that opportunity next.
We spend enough time in practice to where we rotate those two position guys on both sides of the ball, and it's a pretty clear distinction, right? I mean, it's the kids know. I know the parents don't always know, you know, who's better or why Jimmy's playing over Joey, but the kids know. And there's been very few to any conversations I can think of us using a two-position player. But it's been ingrained in our kids and in this program so long that it's just assumed that the depth chart on the whiteboard is not the true depth chart, because they know that there's so many other names that can come in and fill in at that spot. And ultimately, as coaches, you know, like with picking a starter, it's our job to pick who the best backup is, and that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, I love the idea. I think it makes a lot of sense, regardless of the numbers you have in your program, to find a way to make sure that the best 11 are always on the field. You owe that to the team as the coach. I'm sure logistically, especially as you guys were getting into this, there were some things to figure out. What were some of those things up front that if somebody wanted to do this, you'd recommend, like, hey, here's a couple issues you're going to have to deal with, or you need to think about structuring practice this way, et cetera?
Yeah, so the toughest parts about this, A, is just the initial organization. And like I said, we try to split our team into two equal units, so to speak, for spring practice and for summer practice. So it is tough to organize everyone in two positions, and then from that, organize two competitive teams. That takes some time, that takes some planning, but it can be done. The second challenge that you'll face is you have a kid that he just is what he is, right? He's not anything else. And that's when, especially during spring, sometimes summer, I'll pull the kid in and say, look, I know that you are this position. I know that you're going to college and have 40 offers to play this position, and that's what you are. But I'm going to ask you to play a second position, A, to see, is there something there? Is there a way that we can utilize you? And then B, I kind of, you know, turn it back on one of our core values, which is competitive toughness, which we define as, you know, attacking every single situation the same with full intensity, regardless of what is in our way. Just talking to them about, hey, this is a new challenge for you, and I just want to see how you respond to doing something that's new, how you respond to doing something that you're maybe not good at, how you respond to doing something that your coach or your team just ask and need you to do. So there's so many ways to not just spin it, but explain it to the kid that, you know, like I said, he just is what he is. The only kids that get out of playing two positions are the quarterbacks. You know, quarterback plays quarterback, and that's just it. But everybody else does play two spots, and there's different ways that you can motivate or challenge a kid who doesn't think he's anything but one position. The toughest part, like I said, is just sticking with it, because you are going to sacrifice some practice time with what will eventually be your starting units, because you're coaching up those second position kids. And, you know, maybe you don't go into game one clicking on all cylinders exactly how you think that you should and you would, but I do believe you get paid dividends on the back end of the season when guys start getting tired, sick, hurt, fatigued, and you spend all that time and dedicated all that practice time to making sure that they're coached up, ready to go. And I'm not talking about just throwing them in the game and saying, do this. I'm talking about they have a baseline and a knowledge and a coaching of what they're supposed to do at that spot. I do think it pays dividends to stick to that and sacrifice that practice time early on.
You mentioned the situational opportunities that you have as well to get, you know, the best 11 on the field in critical situations. What are some of those specific situations you guys maybe prepare a different group of guys for to be on the field?
Yeah, mainly a lot of it just has to do with, I would say, red zone is probably where we spend the most time flipping guys in and out, you know, and some of the teams we play just with all the space and athletes on the field, moving the ball 20 to 20 is sometimes easy, you know, but who can actually score touchdowns? Who can actually stop people from scoring touchdowns when you get into those condensed zones? And that's probably the biggest area that we use those two position guys and prepare those guys is to just score points or keep teams from scoring points, which ultimately is most important. You know, when I took over and, you know, just talking through some guys with my OC, and we had a safety that was committed to Florida and a safety that was committed to Clemson, and they're safeties, right? That's what they do. That's what they're going to college to play, but they were the two best athletes on the team. And I told my OC, I said, if it ever comes down to one play, those guys better not be standing beside me. They need to be on the field. So let's find a way to get them coached up. And that's just the philosophy in a nutshell. Obviously, that example is for a end of the game play or last play of the game. But, you know, going back to, like I said earlier, the red zone is where we harp on it the most. And then just any type of injuries that occur in game to help us get through a game and hopefully just move on to the next week.
As coaches, we know that some of the biggest hurdles to our team's success can come from off the field. Your team needs support to tackle the endless list of expenses, uniforms, training equipment, travel, and more. But raising that money can feel like a full-time job. Thankfully, there's Vertical Raise. Vertical Raise is the premier online fundraising platform using innovative technology to create the easiest and most efficient system available. Raise more money in less time with a local fundraising coach who works with your team every step of the way to customize the ideal fundraiser. With options for online donations, digital discount cards, premium product sales, and even spirit shops, Vertical Raise has top-of-the-line solutions for every fundraising style. To find out more, visit verticalraise.com and we'll get you connected with an exclusive offer on your first fundraiser.
I know the other philosophy that has worked well for you is looking at things more as, you know, the 10,000 foot view. What's the long game here from, you know, getting to the start of camp all the way through to playing in December? Because you guys have been, you know, pretty good at that recently. You win in the state championship, as I mentioned, in 18. You're runner up in 21. You won it again here in 23. The goal isn't just to get through the 10 weeks of the season. The goal is to play into December. But you've taken on a philosophy that your commitment is to balance, and that balance being in the workload that you put on kids and making sure that they're fresh, not just physically, but also mentally and emotionally when you guys are getting into the late season.
Yeah, this is something that, you know, year to year we're trying to perfect, and it's a tricky balance. And, you know, maybe sometimes we do it right, sometimes we do it wrong. It just works out for us. But, you know, our goal is always to play and to peak and to be our best in December. And not in August. You know, of course, we want to start the season as well as we can and be the best team that we can be. But, you know, we don't go 100 miles per hour all summer and 5 days a week and 10 7-on-7s and two-day padded camps gearing up for game one. And it's, like I mentioned earlier, it's a tricky balance because we're not afraid of work. We work hard. I like to think that we're very efficient with our work. I just try to make sure that we don't do too much. I try to make sure that we give our kids a chance to go be kids. You know, how many 3-day weekends can I give them in the summer on bye weeks? You know, we may practice 2 days that week just to give them time to rest and heal and recover and miss football, miss being here. It's so easy just to get caught up in, oh man, it's the off season. I got to go 100 miles per hour. I got to do mat drills and agility after school and this and that. And, you know, maybe there's some benefit to those things, but it's tough. And especially with all of the other options and some of the year-round sports that are now available to our kids, it's tough to ask a kid to grind like that for 12 months straight. You know, so we try to make sure that heading into the season and early on, we're in a good spot. We've done what we needed to do. We've been efficient with our work, but the energy's still good. The kids still want to be here. They're not tired. They're not fatigued. And so, you know, it's a tricky balance. Every team is different. You know, every team can handle a different workload. And unfortunately, there's not a true just recipe I can give for what I'm trying to explain, because you got to be able to read the room a little bit and know your kids a little bit and maybe even listen to your kids a little bit. But, you know, whatever you have to do to make sure that you're peaking in December and you're not burnt out and they still want to be coming to football practice is what you need to do. And it is the same thing for coaches, you know, especially the guys on our staff. Most of us have kids under the age of 5, and it's a grind for coaches, you know, day in and day out, working the long hours. I want those guys. I want us to be our best selves in December as well, whenever it's win or go home and there's championships on the line. And if we're tired and fatigued and did too much as coaches early on, we may not be at that level. So something we believe in here, something that, you know, we're perfecting yearly, and it's different year to year, but definitely want to make sure that you're peaking at the right time and not just doing things because everybody else does it.
One of the purposes behind our champion series is to give coaches out there a look at how some of the guys out there are doing it to be successful, to bring their program to the top. And that's something you feel strongly about too, that, you know, for you in figuring out and developing yourself professionally, it's not just the scheme you looked at, really more it was the how and the why behind what successful programs were doing. Talk to us about your philosophy in developing as a coach, and, you know, especially a coach who wants to take his program to the top.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's, you know, if you're listening to this, I think you're already doing it, because, you know, players are going to come and go. Schemes are going to be schemes. They're going to change. They're going to develop, you know, year by year, team by team, player by player. That's just, those are some constants. But what are the programs that consistently win? What are some non-schematical things that they are doing? What are some things that separate them, that make them unique? Is there some secret sauce there? Of course, it takes good players to win championships, good coaches to win championships. You got to have solid schemes. But, you know, those are somewhat universal. Football is football. We're all running the same stuff. It just looks a little bit different at times. Nobody has, you know, a secret playbook that nobody knows about and nobody can decipher and learn and do. It's what are those non-schematical things that programs that have long-term success are doing that maybe is creating more productivity, more buy-in from kids, from coaches, that's leading to that success. So just, like I said, analyzing those programs, connecting with those coaches, you know, trying some things that you hear that they're doing, give it a shot, see how it goes. And then if you're able to, you know, can you work for one of those programs? Can you get a firsthand look at what they're doing and learn from the guys that are installing and instilling those program values firsthand? And then as a coach, mold it, make it your own, and decide what you want to do with it with your career.
Well, Coach, I really appreciate you giving us a look into your program and some of the things that have helped you guys bring your team to the top, especially in 2023 as the state champions in Georgia. And we certainly wish you and Milton High School the best of luck as you prepare for the 2024 season.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Always a pleasure to talk Milton football, and look forward to doing it again sometime in the future.
Here are Winning Edge takeaways and ideas for implementation. 1. Develop a strategy for improving your team depth that allows you to always have your best 11 on the field, especially when the situation calls for it. Coach Reeves' two-position philosophy is a great example of how to develop depth. In many situations, a vertical depth chart doesn't always put your best 11 players on the field, so employing an outside-the-box strategy may work for your situation. The important thing is that your players are prepared and understand the plan. 2. Figure out what balance you need in your program. In our social media-driven world, we get to see a lot of what is happening out there, but you need to understand the needs of your players and coaching staff. Taking this approach has allowed Coach Reeves to have his team peaking at the right time. And as he notes, though, it's always dependent upon what your team needs. And 3, in developing yourself, invest in figuring out the how and the why behind what successful teams do. It's become easy to get to the what, so it's always about the how and the why that will provide you secrets to success. Follow all we're doing at coachandcoordinator.com. Be sure to check out our partner, Signature Championship Rings. Follow us on X at Coach K. Grabowski.